Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Beyond the Light Horizon by Ken MacLeod, narrated by Elliot Chapman.
The story so far. This is the third volume of the Lightspeed trilogy, following Beyond the Hallowed Sky and Beyond the Reach of Earth. Here's a quick reminder of what was in these audiobooks. In Audiobook 1, Faster Than Light, FTL, travel was discovered around 2020 and is being kept secret. This can't stop other people from discovering it. One of them is London PhD student Lakshmi Nayak. In 2067, she receives an airmail letter in her own handwriting with equations that point to the possibility. To her, this apparent communication from a future self implies both FTL and time travel. She expands the equations into a paper and publishes it online, where it's torn to shreds. After gaining her PhD, she's warned off any further work on FTL by Marcus Owen, a humanoid robot operative of the British Council, now a feared intelligence service. The world has three big powers: the Alliance, the Anglosphere plus India and minus Ireland and Scotland; the Union, the former European Union, now a revolutionary economic democracy; and the Coordinated States, China and Russia, all with various client states and non-aligned countries outside. Nayak defects to the Union and moves to Scotland, where she works for a planning consultancy and secretly develops her theory into a practical engineering proposition. In 2070, John Grant, a Clydeside shipbuilder, sees a nuclear submarine rise out of the sea and vanish in a blue flash. His queries are blocked by Iskander, the Union's universal AI interface. At work, he's approached by a colleague who is in the cadre, the network of revolutionaries that riddles the Union's democratic institutions. She asks him to investigate and contact Nayak. He does, by offering to build her ship. Others in the cadre tell Grant that the Alliance and the Coord have had FTL travel for at least 50 years and use nuclear submarines as starships. Soon, a civilian submarine, the Fighting Chance, is taking shape in the semi-automated shipyard with a star drive of Nayak's design inside it. Nayak trains to operate the controls. Meanwhile, Owen has been dispatched to the Union's Venus Cloud colony, Cloud City, as Alliance cultural attaché. Everyone there knows he's a robot and a spy. The Alliance consul, Peregrine Walworth, passes on instructions for Owen to block a Union attempt to retrieve a sample of mysterious rock from the surface. This rock resembles an equally mysterious rock already found on Earth, and now under secret investigation by the Alliance military. Owen gets into a relationship with Francesca Milloy, who is building a suit for human survival on the surface. Owen manages to get himself sent to the surface of Venus. He finds the glassy rock extends to a chasm below the surface, within which he sees the face of a woman. Something in the rock communicates with the onboard instance of Iskander in Owen's spacesuit. At that moment, a volcanic resurfacing of Venus begins. Back on Cloud City, Owen learns that the rock sample has been retrieved by a team from Cloud City and is to be transferred to the orbiting Venus space station from one of the smaller floating outposts. Owen shares with Walworth the picture of the woman he saw in the chasm. Walworth transmits it to the Alliance. They then join a group of Cloud City inhabitants celebrating the first contact they think they've just made. Walworth trumps this with the announcement that the Alliance and Coord have had FTL interstellar travel for 50 years and now look forward to opening a habitable planet to the rest of humanity. Owen doesn't know that the mysterious rock has already been giving trouble many light years away on the aforesaid planet, Apis. There, the rock exists as massive outcrops within which continuous movement can be seen. The Alliance and Coord have military scientific bases on separate continents, and in the wilds, there is a small population of exiles, disaster survivors who were involuntarily and secretly resettled there in turbulent decades past. The planet's animals are all invertebrates, and like the plants and fungi, are clearly descended from early life on Earth. The planet has been terraformed long before humans arrived there. An anomalous feature is the presence of bees, identical to current species on Earth. While investigating their nearest outcrop, McInerney Ridge, Emma Hazeldine and her colleagues encounter and flee from sudden massive movements of the rock. A local exile leader, Abel Jenkins, is in communication with the intelligences in the rock, which he calls the Fermi, via an old phone and an apparatus he built himself. The Fermi sent him warning messages just before an earthquake devastates Jenkins' home village and a tsunami swamps the Alliance base. Hazeldine and her colleagues, along with Jenkins and injured people from his village, are airlifted to the base. They continue to communicate with the Fermi through Jenkins' apparatus. A contingent of Co-Ord troops lands at the base and occupies the area around the ridge, citing their duties under the Kepler Agreement, the secret treaty governing Alliance and Co-Ord interstellar exploration in a common secret project called Black Horizon. A few days later, an FTL spaceplane arrives and two naval intelligence agents show Hazeldine a picture of herself, which they say was seen on Venus. She and Jenkins must go to Venus immediately in an Alliance submarine. Meanwhile, Owen has broken out of Cloud City to continue his mission to prevent the return of the sample to the space station. He attempts to dump the surface survival suit, which has been firewalled off and kept outside. The suit, still controlled by an instance of the iScander AI and with an ample supply of balloons, gets away. Owen steals an aircraft and raids the floating outpost where the sample is stored. He's outwitted by the crew and left in the damaged outpost while they escape with the sample. The submarine starship with Hazeldine and Jenkins on board arrives at the right location on the surface of Venus. Jenkins asks the Fermi what they want and is referred to the iScander possessed suit, which is just dropping down. The suit tells them to help it retrieve and return the sample to its original place on the surface. They deliver the suit to the scientist's escape balloon, leave it to return the sample, and go on to rescue Owen. With him, they return to the Alliance base on Apis. The Alliance reps disown Owen, who is left on Apis when the submarine starship returns to Earth. Back on Earth, John Grant and his family and colleagues react to the Black Horizon announcement. His son Miles, with girlfriend Marie, are tempted by the Alliance offer of free transport to Apis, an offer which the Union government opposes. Word comes down that the launch of Grant's starship will be prevented. Grant inveigles Nyack, his wife Ellen, an experienced remote operator of submersibles, and two colleagues to launch the ship secretly. They have to do this sooner than they expect. Cloud City, in severe danger in the increasingly turbulent atmosphere, is being evacuated, but there are far too few shuttles at the orbiting station to do this fast enough. Grant and his crew launch the Fighting Chance and take it to Venus, where they transfer hundreds from the stricken aerial colony to the station. When Cloud City finally breaks up and falls, taking hundreds with it, they rescue the last survivors in the floating outposts and the iScander suit, which tells them what's been going on. Just as they've decided to go to Apis and warn those there of the dangers from the Fermi rocks, a Co-Ord submarine starship appears and threatens to destroy the Fighting Chance if they don't surrender it. As the missile is about to be launched, Nyack expands the field to cover the entire station, and at the last second, they make the jump to Apis orbit. Unknown to Grant, Miles and Marie are already on Apis, having taken the Alliance offer and arrived hours earlier with hundreds of other Union citizens. In their first night there, Miles and Marie see the station, but don't realize what it is. The following morning, Owen gets new orders from the British Council. In audiobook 2, the Alliance base on Apis goes into full alert as the station appears in orbit. Commander Alice Hawkins hails the station and is brought up to speed by Station Commander Katrina Ulrich, who asks her to send a data package back to Earth about the station's survival, current location, the names of the dead and the survivors, etc. Ulrich also warns her about the dangers of meddling with the Fermi rocks, at which Hawkins scoffs and explains that the Coord have essentially occupied McInerney Ridge. Ulrich contacts the Coord base, Novi Kosmograd. Meanwhile, Hawkins is speaking with another Coord officer at the base who, like herself, is highly placed in the Black Horizon conspiracy. They agree that with the conspiracy exposed and being rolled up, the only way to advance its aims is to share its deepest secrets with Ulrich and hope for the best. Hawkins sends a data package containing these secrets to Ulrich. The station, which now includes hundreds rescued from Cloud City, mourns its dead. Ulrich instructs Francesca Milloy, Owen's former lover in Cloud City, to investigate the recovered descent suit, which is operated by its onboard instance of the AI called Iskander. She finds that it now calls itself Sikander, and that it has not been corrupted by the alien intelligence part of the Fermi, which it encountered on Venus. That morning, Marcus Owen meets the security officer, Lieutenant Jessica Bernstein, who has a message for him from the British Council. The first line tells him to keep her talking. Alliance troops are on their way. An FTL transport lands outside and troops rush in to arrest Bernstein. The rest of the message tells Owen that everyone on the planet other than himself and the new troops must be regarded as Black Horizon. He is to join the Alliance team going with the soldiers to assist the Union settlement on the southern continent, New Mu, and to monitor the scientists' investigations into the nearby Fermi rock outcrop, Hamilton's Rise. Having been excluded by the Coord from their own rock, McInerney Ridge, but urgently needing to investigate the Fermi, the Alliance has decided to try this. He is to keep any significant discoveries out of the hands of anyone but the Alliance, and to establish communication with the Fermi if he can. He joins Hazeldine, Jenkins, Muranov et al., and Lieutenant William Knight in preparing for this expedition. Marie Henderson and Miles Grant wake up to their first morning on Apis, and a surprise phone call from John and Ellen Grant, who are in the station orbiting above them. Grant urges them to come back to Earth and build more starships, but Miles and Marie are determined to make a go of it on Apis. Just then, the Coord submarine starship Admiral von Bellingshausen arrives and warns the station that it has to leave the system. Ulrich has received a message via Alliance FTL shuttle to go off and explore, so they comply. Sikander suggests they go to the system E-prime-667. Ulrich agrees, and Nyack and Ellen use the fighting chance to jump the station there. Owen travels by flying boat with the scientists and a squad of soldiers across the ocean to New Mu. They land at a lake and trek down through wooded hills to the Union settlement, now named New Ru. The settlers are busy turning the arks in which they arrived into housing. Hazeldine and Marie bond over their shared interest in biology. Just then, another ark arrives, this time with journalists from various Union media who are astonished to see Hamilton's Rise. Over the next week, Owen makes himself useful around the place, getting to know settlers, soldiers, and journalists. Distant smoke suggests other exiles in the forests nearby, but survey drones and expeditions find no trace. The Alliance soldiers build a stockade up the hill from New Ru on the edge of the forest. On the station in orbit around the distant star E-prime-667, Nyack trains Grant to pilot the Fighting Chance because she has decided to remain on the station. Meanwhile, the chief engineer, Eduardo Giranella, supervises the building of a telescope to survey the system and more FTL drives and shuttles. When these are complete, the Fighting Chance can go home. Milloy admits to Nyack that she wants revenge on Owen. Shortly afterwards, Alliance Consul Peregrine Walworth, rescued from Cloud City, artfully lets slip that Owen is on Apis and probably at the Union settlement on New Mu. Miles is felling trees near the Alliance garrison uphill from New Ru when he narrowly misses being killed by an arrow from a volley mostly aimed at the garrison. The arrows seem technologically advanced, as if made of carbon fibre. Miles joins a mixed squad of settlement militia and Alliance soldiers in a sweep of the forest. They fail to find the attackers and are jeered at by monkey spiders, large gibbon-like invertebrates that live in the trees. Miles comes across a beehive and observes a monkey spider carefully opening it and eating honey then closing up the hive and going back to the trees. He shares his recording of this with Marie, who with Jenkins and Hazeldine is up in the hills and has just come across a clearing full of molted carapaces from some large unknown animals. These pieces are apparently stored for use as raw material. Just then, a soldier shoots the monkey spider that Miles has been watching. The sweep is called off, and the dead monkey spider carried back to New Rue. Marie and Hazeldine find that the monkey spider's brain is large enough for an intelligent animal. Marie sequences bee DNA and finds artificial genes, and evidence that the bees have been here for at least decades, if not centuries. Georgi Muranov tests the material of the arrows and finds it's not of human origin. He suspects the Fermi made and shot them. Miles suggests that the Fermi are protecting the monkey spiders as potential conscious life, and that Apis was indeed made for that species and not for humans. Marie points out that it's the monkey spider's habitat that is being damaged by tree felling. They carry the dead monkey spider back and leave it at the edge of the forest. Meanwhile, Owen and two geologists return from a survey along the banks of the nearby Big River, which cuts through the range of Hamilton's Rise to the sea, with stone arrowheads and with a large ovoid stone formed from the rock from the rise and still showing activity within. It's agreed to mount an expedition downriver to recover more such stones and, if possible, to contact the local exiles. The station has by now an FTL drive of its own. Nyack and one of the pilots she has trained, Ernest Maddock, use the FTL drive to jump the station to an orbit closer to the star. After the jump, Sikander, still clinging to the outside of the fighting chance, which is itself attached to the station, reports a problem. A moon of the system's gas giant has disappeared. On closer examination, what seems to have happened is that two of the moons have been replaced by one large moon, with an atmosphere, liquid water, and biosignatures. The conclusion the crew eventually arrive at is that the station has arrived in a different timeline, and they don't know how different it is. A week later, the new FTL drives for the station shuttles have been built. Grant and his crew, apart from Nyack, prepare to return in the fighting chance along with some people from the station. Milloy asks that they stop off on Apis, where together with Sikander, she will hunt down Owen. The fighting chance sets them down on the seaward side of Hamilton's Rise and jumps away again. Lugging an anti-materiel rifle, Milloy and the descent suit Sikander head uphill towards the summit of Hamilton's Rise. Miles and Marie lead a small team, Hazeldine, Muranov, Patel and Owen, down the Big River using a dinghy and a small drone. Landing downstream, they make their way along the bank in a steep-sided gorge. Crossing a rockfall, they experience disorientation and vertigo, but Owen, who is unaffected, helps them to find a way over. Farther on, they see smoke and are soon approached by a group of exiles, women and children and young men with spears. They speak a form of English and are excited to see the Union flag patches on Marie's and Miles's shoulders. They fear or revere something at the top of Hamilton's Rise, which they call the Bird. When Miles introduces himself, they ask if he knows John Grant. Miles shows the matriarch of the group the document signed by himself and his father. She slowly reads this and calls out to the rest of the group that he is not John Grant. With that, they leave, disappointed. Perplexed, the expedition sets up camp and sends a drone over the forest, where they find the exile group's settlement around what looks very like an ark. The geologists find a large slab of green rock still active from the river and carry it back to the camp. That evening, Miles strolls over to where the geologist Muranov is scanning the slab. Muranov talks about the progress he's made in understanding it and the effects of the FTL drive on deterrence. Miles leaves him to report his findings back to Novi Kosmograd, and they never see Muranov again. After a search, they set up a guard rota around the camp. In the night, Miles relieves Owen, who then knocks him down, grabs his rifle, and runs off towards Hamilton's Rise. The fighting chance lands on the Firth of Clyde and is impounded as soon as it docks. Grant Ellen and the rest of the crew are put under house arrest in a hotel. Grant is visited by a high-level cadre, Luis Ogundo, who offers to be his defence lawyer. He tells her everything that has happened. Iskander brings him up to speed on events on Earth and on Apis, from which the journalists have returned with footage that ends with a mysterious arrows near miss on Miles. Grant tells Iskander he intends to go back to Apis, and Iskander promises to help. On the station, Ulrich calls Nyack to her office as soon as the fighting chance departs and gives Nyack a file containing the Black Horizon data package she was given by Commander Hawkins. Nyack reads this in private. She learns how Black Horizon was set up by the scientists who accidentally discovered FTL in 2018 when an experimental rig they hadn't yet built came back with photographs of Proxima Centauri B and of themselves in front of a whiteboard with the equations for FTL travel scrawled on it. She also learns that nuclear weapons have been stashed on various exoplanets to maintain deterrence and also as a possible last resort to destroy Fermi rocks. One such stash is on the anomalous moon, on which there are exiles, and which Black Horizon called the Mushroom Moon. But now that Black Horizon is being rolled up, the governments are retrieving the stashes, and a British submarine starship, HMS Vindicate, is on its way. Nyack and Marek go to the Mushroom Moon in the station shuttle to retrieve the stash for the station and for Black Horizon, whose aims Ulrich admits to the crew she agrees with. They find the cache near a spectacular, crenellated, colourful outcrop of Fermi rock soaring above a fungus-dominated landscape. As they wheel the nukes towards their shuttle, they're accosted by a group of exiles who seem permanently stoned by hallucinogenic fungi. These exiles tell them the nukes are needed to deter the bird. Moments later, a black band moves up the crystal pillars, leaving them white, and emerges at the top as a vast black disc with outspread wings. On Apis, Owen, who has indeed murdered Muranov and dumped his body in the river, climbs into Hamilton's rise to use what he has learned from Muranov's discoveries to attempt contact with the Fermi. Meanwhile, Meloy, in the descent suit Sikander, climbs the other side of the mountain. From the top, they see a Coord force speeding towards the beach below. Making haste, they enter an opening in the crystal peaks. Knight contacts her to say the Alliance Forge drones have spotted her and Owen and patches her Owen's location. He also reports that the Coord are moving troops and communications equipment up to where she and Sikander went in. Owen is heading her way. Just as she's about to use the descent suit as armor, Sikander is struck by some software attack, apparently from the Fermi rock. Meloy takes cover and lies in wait. Owen is also affected by the Fermi, but continues to run forward. Meloy shoots him through the descent suit, which topples. She misses, and Owen flees, pursued by Coord military drones. The descent suit, Sikander, urges Meloy to get back in. Just as she does, a black band rises up the crystal pillars to form a great winged disc in the sky. Hamilton's rise is left a whitened husk of its former colourful glory. Coord military drones snare the suit and lift it up with her in it. As she's airlifted out of Hamilton's rise, she sees Owen in the distance, sprinting away through gunfire over the edge of a cliff. On landing at the Coord encampment, she's told by the scientists that the signals they beamed at the rock, informed by Muranov's research, have resulted in the departure of the Fermi from all the outcrops on Apis. Perhaps all the rocky worlds have been left open to humanity. On Earth, Ogundo tells Grant his house arrest is now to be at home and he will be released on bail after a court appearance. Back at his flat, he and Ellen are visited by former employees of his company who tell him they have continued it under self-management and are building tractor units with FTL drives to be attached to ARCs, shipping containers with life support. As soon as the union makes settlement legal, they'll go ahead with moving people. On the Mushroom Moon, the great black bird vanishes into the sky. The locals attack Nyack and Marek. Nyack is forced to open her faceplate, and Marek's is smashed. They fight off the attackers, killing some and putting the rest to flight, but are immediately assailed by hallucinations. They manage to get back to the shuttle and return to the station on autopilot. Nayak has a hallucinatory vision of the origin of the Fermi as spontaneously generated intellects in the moment before or just after the Big Bang. On recovering, she learns that HMS Vindicate, no longer controlled by Black Horizon, has arrived and is demanding the return of the nukes. In a situation of mutual mistrust between the starship, submarine, and the station, Woolworth arranges for Nayak to make the transfer. He tells Nayak that the Vindicate, some years ago, turned up anomalously at a remote naval station and that the postmark for top-secret missions is BFPO Kabul. If she sends an airmail message to herself with the FTL equations, she'll close the time loop, because at some time in the future, the Vindicate will make a trip to the past. There is a record of this incident a few years earlier. He himself intends to return to Earth on the submarine. This is all done, the Vindicate departs, and Nayak returns to the station feeling that at last she has free will and her future is open again. On Apis, the Co-Ord contingent at Hamilton's Rise retrieve Muranov's body and return it to Hazeldine and the others for formal permission to take it back to Earth. Shortly afterwards, they deliver Milloy and the descent suit Sikander, who with the rest of the expedition begin a trek back upriver to Nyuru. Owen is by then in the forest, experiencing self-aware consciousness and free will for the first time. He also has some fragment of the Fermi in his mind, and this gives him a new motivation to protect the monkey spiders. Sikander knows it has been partly taken over by the Fermi. Miles inveigles Sikander to go away with the anti-materiel rifle, expecting it to destroy Owen, then itself. Instead, Sikander shoots at Owen, misses, and asks Owen to destroy its central computer. This Owen does, and heads off down the hill in search of monkey spiders. Miles and the others hear the two shots and think Sikander has done the job they expected it to do. As they approach Nyuru in the dusk, they see three black dots on the disk of the gas giant and realize that this is where the Fermi went. With Apis now apparently clear of the Fermi, all barriers to migration there are lifted, including the Union's. Grant's company is soon busy shipping people to Nyuru. Grant himself pilots many of these journeys for reasons we will learn. Miles and Marie have told him about the exiles, who know his name and expect his return. Some months later, one of these journeys ends in the past. In a difficult landing, the connection between the Ark and the tractor unit is broken. Grant has to leave the 100 or so people, obviously the ancestors of those Miles and Marie met in the forest, behind. But he promises to come back. Now listen on. Chapter 1. Meteor Night. Apis, 1991. Wednesday, 25th March, 2071, according to Grant's calendar. John Grant looked back from the door of the tractor unit. The forest was dark, the slope steep, the rapids in the ravine loud. The crowd he was leaving behind were well kitted out for wilderness survival, but perplexed and anxious.
"Get them away," he told the young woman who stood looking up at him, "and make sure they look away from the flash. Tell them to cover the children's ears. I'll be going in 10 minutes, okay?"
"Okay," she said. She turned away, and with shouts and gestures urged the 100 or so people in her community up the hillside. Within a few minutes, they were out of sight among the trees. Grant swung into the cab, clunked the door shut behind him, and strapped in. He was leaving these people in the past. He had promised to come back for them if he could find a way, but he knew he wouldn't. On these same wooded hills, their descendants, up ahead in the future, if it was the same future, awaited his return.
"What the hell do I do now?" he said.
He was asking himself, but it was Iskander who answered.
"Go back to Earth," said the AI. Grant was startled.
"Oh, forgot you were here."
Of course Iskander was here, in his phone and glasses, but in all his 1,000 or so journeys back and forth between Earth and Apis, he'd never had to consult it. The navigation app had done all the work. "I spoke to remind you of my presence and availability," Iskander said. "This is not a situation where you want to feel alone."
"Thanks,"
Grant said. He spun the navigation app and set a course. He took a deep breath.
"Well, let's do it," No time like the present.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?